Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, isn't it? Did everyone have fun with the snow? Make snowmans and snowball fights? I just enjoyed it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for the blessings you provide for us. We thank you for the protective hand you give upon us to do your will. Father, we lift up the families and brothers and sisters that are in need, that need help throughout this world. We ask that you be with Michael and the other brothers that are throughout the world that I don't know all their names, but we know that you do. Father, we ask that you have give us an open ear that we can be able to hear and we understand. Father, we pray for the contacts that some of the brothers have met last night, that the grace would be so upon them that they seek after it and want to do it and choose to follow after you. Father, we ask these things in your sweet and precious name we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's go to Nehemiah. What do you guys remember from chapter 1? Well, let's start out with this. What is Nehemiah's occupation? What does he do for a living? Anyone remember what Nehemiah does for a living? He's a cupbearer. You know him?
Cupbearer,
okay. What was the cupbearer's job?
They're to test out the wine that he drinks or whatever, so they make sure that no poison.
Just like Marcus was explaining to you guys last time, that's a very important role. I mean, the king trusts this individual with his life. Because someone can have poison with there and drink it, and he can die. So he has a lot of trust in him. So when Nehemiah, after he found out that how the walls of Jerusalem was and it was falling down, the gates were all burnt, and he felt that he needed to do something, he went to the Lord in prayer and seeked after it and asked for forgiveness for the sins of Israel. Then, now we're going to go to chapter 2, and it's going to start talking about how he goes about it after he's actually. We'll go to chapter 1. Go to chapter 1. And it came after about a month, and it was the 20th year of Archippus. That wine was before him, and I took up a wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in her presence. There's something kind of right there just makes you think about something. Here we all have our troubles, we all have our situations in life. But he's saying that I have not been sad in the presence of the king. So that's just something to kind of think about, that he had bared his problems and everything and never really showed it to his boss. He kept on going on with it because he had known that when he served someone else, it's the same as serving for God. So he just did it with happiness. But this is something so heavy on him that it showed through. 2. So the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, though you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness in my heart." Then I was very much afraid. Well, if the individual never really tried to show any kind of emotions or any kind of feelings of the problems that he was going through in life, now the king see they had something on his heart. It kind of made him afraid. It's coming out. He can see it. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tomb, lies desolate and the gates have been consumed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What would you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. So he's already in his head, said, "Now the opportunity's coming. I want to make sure that the words that come out of my mouth are going to be what the Father wants. And make sure that he's in charge of it." He's putting everything through God with it. Make sure it's going to be his will. Just like Jesus always continues to pray about, "Your will, Father, not mine." So he's asking pretty much almost the same thing. I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, and I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send him. And I gave him a definite time. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let the letters be given me for the governor of our provinces beyond the river, that they may allow me to pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asa, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates, for the fortress which is by the temple, and for the walls of the city, and for the house to which I will go. And the king granted them to me because of a good hand of my God was on me. So he placed God before. And so he said, with the grace of God, with the hand of God upon me, the king had gave favor to me to allow this to happen. So he's letting the will, God's will, become true to him. So I had a kind of a question in my head, and I never really could find too much of an answer for it. But when he was gathering all this timber, I wonder if this was before he got to Jerusalem or as he's on the way to Jerusalem. And that's a lot of timber to haul. It was a big journey he took to get there. Then I came to the governor of the provinces beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. Now the king had sent with me officers of the army and horsemen. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about it, it was very displeasing to them that someone had come to seek the welfare of the sons of Israel. God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem, and there was no animal. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I rose in the night, and I and a few men with me. I did not tell anyone what my God had put into my mind to do for Jerusalem. And there was no animal with me except the animal on which I was riding. So I went out at night by the valley gate to the direction of a dungeon well and on the refuge gate, inspected the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were consumed by fire. Then I passed on to the foundation gate and king's pool, but there was no place for my men to pass. So I went up at night by the raven and inspected the wall. Then I entered the valley gate again and returned. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done, nor had I as yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the rest who did the work. I want to kind of stop there, and I know as I kind of pass it, and I want to talk about it too. As he was passing through the governors, and he came beyond the river, and Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite. You know, somewhere when sometimes we have situations that come in our life when we're trying to live righteously, and we have problems that come up with different individuals, and we end up getting persecuted and by a lot of it. It seems that when we're trying to step away from the world and obey the kingdom and obey God, we get resentment. We get people who come against us because we're not part of the world anymore. We're not part of their cycle. And they tend to get angry and they find things and they try to attack us with it. This is the same thing with Nehemiah was dealing with when he was going through this. All right. And then we'll go back here. We're 17. Then I said to them, you see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate, and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, so that we will no longer be reproached. I told them how the hand of God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's word, which he had spoken to me. Then they said, let us rise up and build. So they put their hands too, but good work. But when Sambalat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, "What is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" So I answered them and said to them, "The God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. You have no portion, no right, no memorial in Jerusalem." And chapter 3 goes where it actually starts the process of it. He plans it out. But I also want to kind of look into where he counted the cost. Just like it says, we're supposed to count the cost before we start building. We understand so we're not becoming a foolish one and not have enough to be able to complete it. He counted the cost. He went and looked at the damage. He looked at it and see what he needed to do. How he's going to have to come up, different individuals to do different sections of the wall to get this completed. And he also had a time frame too. He told the king he'd be back at a certain time. So he's got a lot of pressures and a lot of different situations he's got to work out in his head. And then in 3, you'll see how he doesn't just kind of do it all himself. He asks for help. And he asks for the Lord to be with him on this. Asking God to be placed upon it and through that. So in 3, we'll start in a pretty good conversation of where he goes on and starts doing that. Alright. Oh, is everyone studied up on the books of the Bible? Probably ahead of me. Because I can't remember them all. I tried. Alright. David said we're not going to be able to say it all as a group. So I'm going to do what's called popcorn style. I'm going to point to you. And this will be more of a challenge because then you have to kind of pay attention to what the person said before you and know where you're at. And then I'm going to add that. Young men sit too. They haven't been involved very much, and I think it's kind of good for them. So, all right, we're just going to go ahead and start pointing, and you start with the first book of the Old Testament. Right? All right. Adam?
Leviticus. Numbers.
Okay, your next one, then up Ruth. Okay, you should be first. Okay. What's after 1st and 2nd Corinthians?
No,
then that Corinthians. What's before Corinthians? Chronicles. Yeah, Chronicles. Ruth, and then you go. First.
Here.
Kelly, what's after Ruth?
First.
Do you remember what's after 2 Samuel? First something. Do you remember the start of the scene? Then we go to Kings, and then we go to Kings then, right?
Yeah.
First Samuel, 2 Samuel, first Kings.
It'll
all be First Chronicles and Second Chronicles.
Ezra.
Nope, not after him. It starts with an E. That's true. I'm sorry? That's right. Alright, Joel, do you know what's after Joel?
Joel.
Joey? Alright. Lloyd? Walter Jr.? Yep. That's where I'm at. I'm not quite known at all either. Alright. Harvey?
Isaiah.
Alright. Alright, back to. You want to start from this one now?
Daniel. Okay, back.
Daniel was after Daniel. Oh, you did say it was Daniel. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Corinthians. Okay, skip.
Who's got it?
Galatians.
Somebody just say it. Go on, girl.
Yeah.